This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Hide and seek. Yeah!
Joy 94.9.
You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9 with me, Andrew the Apprentice, and him, Dean Beck. Now, we're getting all political. We are joined by two of the candidates from the seat of La Trobe, Martin from the Australian Sex Party and Michael from the Greens. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to you both.
Now, La Trobe is quite a large electorate.
It is, but a little smaller now than it previously was.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Laura Smythe is the ALP candidate who currently holds the MP for the area. La Trobe includes parts of Boronia, Ferntree Gully, as well as suburbs along the rail line to Cockatoo, Gembrook in the north of the electorate. And along the south, it takes in parts of the growth corridor, including new housing estates such as Narre, Warren and Berwick.
It was from 2004 to 2010 held by the Liberal Party's Jason Wood, who is now a candidate again this election. And then in 2010, it switched to the current member, Laura Smith from the ALP.
Smythe
from the ALP.
No, her assistant made sure I knew.
Smythe. Okay.
Today, yeah.
Wise. Okay, I'll write that down. Now, it's a very, as we said, it's a great in the growth corridor. Lots of families with kids, lots of people with mortgages, lots of people with two car households.
Martin, this is the second time you've run in this seat. I guess it wasn't called that previously, was it?
Yes, it was La Trobe.
Yeah. It was La Trobe? Yes. It's just been shifted a bit.
Yeah, it was too big, like population-wise, so they had to redistribution.
How many poofs out that way?
I don't know.
Oh.
Wait, is there many?
I'd say so.
It's very white picket fence.
It is very white picket fence.
Mm. A lot of closets.
There you go. Now, it's also the land of the happy clappers. Isn't that right, Michael? The Christian right are strong in this in these hours.
I hadn't heard that expression before.
Oh, right, sorry.
But I hadn't prepared enough. there is...
It's quite a lot of strong evangelical communities.
Out that, yeah.
Yes. Congregations out that way.
Well, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Is the and one of the new parties is the Rise Up Party, which is along those lines, similar perhaps previously to Family First. Is that
a dance song?
I don't think they're quite that. Okay. What's your understanding of the Rise Up Party? Are they attracting that religious space?
They are. I believe the person who's running the party is. I believe he's a local pastor.
Yep.
So look, that's exactly who they're appealing to.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm.
So you two guys, though, were on the other side of the left-right divide. I mean, both the Greens and the Sex Party is seen as being to the left of the spectrum.
Yep. Which is kind of weird. I get it for the Greens, but the Sex Party is a small business party. But left in, I guess, in its community values.
Community values.
Yeah.
Martin, is that how do you think of the party in the traditional left-right spectrum?
Well, we're definitely not right. We're sort of just off centre on the left.
Yep.
Sometimes quite off centre.
Yeah, sometimes with some things, but we're... yeah, a little bit off. But yeah, like, you know, you're saying with religion, we're not against religion. Yeah, but it shouldn't be interfering with our day-to-day lives. That's what we're saying.
The Greens have copped it from all angles of late. You did all right in 2010 with over 12% of the vote. That's not bad for a primary. What are you expecting to get this time?
Look, we're all out campaigning hard. Well, as you can see now, it's 10 past 10. We're still campaigning hard up at the crack of dawn.
Yeah.
But look, we're campaigning hard in every electorate across the country. So, look, I think we'll do pretty well.
Let's get down to basics. Why did you want to run for the Greens in this seat?
Yeah, well, look, the seat of Latrobe, it's obviously a very diverse seat. And I feel I'll be able to best represent the people of Latrobe. It encompasses the areas of the Dandenong Ranges, which are the hills, and I'm passionate about the hills. And it also goes down into suburbia as well, which is where I grew up. And I believe in what the party stands for, and I'm honoured, I guess, to have been pre-selected to be able to run in the seat.
And Michael, I mean, you're pretty young.
I am.
You're a nurse?
I am.
What does a typical day's campaigning look for you?
Okay, a typical day's campaigning would involve being up at around 4:30 in the morning. We're talking a few weeks out from the election here.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Obviously, as a candidate, not a sitting MP, you don't have
no
the benefit
of... No one would do it by choice, you're right.
Well, I've still got to juggle work commitments, but
sure.
Look, leading up to the election, it's typically up at 4:30, up to a train station by about 6:15 to get the morning rush. When you finish that, you'll go street stall, handing out some flyers in the streets. You might do some door knocking. And then the afternoon's reserved to writing press releases, doing your social media. And then at night, you might have a meeting to go to.
Or a radio.
Or a radio program.
Or a radio Martin, program, that's right.
Martin, I would think the train stations at 6 a.m. down your way are pretty busy.
Yes, and they're cold.
Cold and busy.
Cold and busy.
Just want to say I've got a cock in my mouth.
Yeah, sure. I mean, a main issue for many of you, for many residents of the area, would be that that their commuters, they've got to travel into the town or a fair way away to work.
Yep.
What are people telling you about those sort of issues that are being faced by them?
Well, with transport, that's really a state issue, and it's not a federal one, which is what we're...
They make it a federal issue.
They make it a federal issue, and you're trying to explain to them, say, look, you know, we understand what the transport is like up there, and sometimes it's pretty shocking. But from a federal level, there's not much you can do about it.
Cost of living pressures, though, are often...
Federally
impacted.
Yeah, well, everyone's doing it tough. You know, you can't blame... You know, we've just gone through a GFC. Yeah, and I mean, I noticed, like, you know, both my wife and I are working. You know, we've got the bills to pay. I've got my electricity bill the other day, and it doubled. And I'm trying to work out why.
Right.
Not just because it was winter.
It's a state issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, you've got private enterprise that own these companies and they're in business to make money.
Martin, what is different this time around for you? Because you've done this a few times, not just federally, but federal and state.
Yeah.
Excuse me, eating your chocolate cock.
That's okay. Enjoy.
What's different this time?
I know what I'm doing.
Right, okay. That's fair enough.
I've got a better understanding. I mean, 3 years ago was the party's first time out, and there's only 3 lower house candidates in Victoria. I was one of those 3. And it was hard. Not hard, but it was just so much to take in. And each time you do something, it gets a little bit easier. This time we've gone from 3 to 29 candidates in Victoria Lower
from
House.
From 3 to 29 for the 6 party?
In 3 years.
It's not bad going.
I'm blown away by the talent that we have. And you had Alan on before.
Earlier tonight on Doug's show. Yeah.
I was actually at home listening because Mike and I had a forum this afternoon.
Which is why the other candidates couldn't make it this evening, I might add. But thank you both for turning
up. No, appreciate it.
No problem.
But I went home and changed out of my suit. I didn't want to upstage you.
No. Yeah. And rightly so.
Yes. So, we've got some great talent. There are scientists in as candidates.
Why do you personally want to do this after doing it so many times? Why would you put yourself forward as yet again?
Because I believe in what the party stands for. The civil liberty side of it, our choice, your choice. Government's intervention in our lives, which is getting more and more. You know, the government should really go back and start governing the country and not worrying about what you're doing it in your home as a consenting adult.
Yeah, I get that.
Michael, how do you define the Greens as being different to the Six Party?
a good question, Andrew. I like that.
Yeah, that is a good question. Look, I think we're. I think in terms of social issues, such as your marriage equality, that would be quite similar.
Do you want to tax marijuana and make it legal?
No.
Right. So there's a point of difference.
There is a point of difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're still. We'd probably still. I haven't gone in and read in great detail the sex party policy platform.
We'll get to it in a minute. It's pretty out there.
Oh, cool. But we do at the same time believe in the harm. Whole harm minimisation approach to dealing with drugs, so that would be something else.
So
we haven't...
socially, on the social issues side, you're pretty much similar. You think? Pretty much. But economically, a bit different.
Would be a bit different. What do you think, Martin?
Yeah, Mike and I were having a chat before about it, and we're right there with abortion, euthanasia, those sort of things. But when it comes to like the tax on the marijuana and decriminalising marijuana. They're on the other side.
But what you do see, both of you, is drugs as a health issue rather than a criminal issue.
Yes.
Exactly right. Right. Yeah. That's right.
That's what we're saying, is to decriminalise it, is to take it out of the criminal justice system and put it into the health system.
You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. We're joined by two of the candidates from La Trobe in the outer southeast, Martin from the Six Party and Michael from the Greens. We'll be back very shortly.
Hi, this is Dr. Pamela Stevenson-Connolly, sexologist, and you're listening to Dean and Andrew on Hide and Seek, the only program about sex, sexuality and self on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9. This
is the fabulous Adam Richard, and I am on Hide and Seek with Dean Beck and Andrew the Apprentice, and they tell me we're going to do our impression of the Muppets now.
That's right, you're on Hide and Seek with Dean and Andrew. Tonight we're joined by two of the candidates from the seat of La Trobe, Martin from the Six Party and Michael from the Greens. Now, guys, equal marriage rights is both parties have a very similar position. Do tradies in Narre Warren really care about marriage rights?
Oh, no, that's a good question.
I believe they do. They do, because most people will know somebody who is gay, and most people are very supportive of marriage equality. And I think it's shown in the statistics. It's something... The latest survey, something like 65% of people support marriage equality. So
I think it's even up a bit from that.
Mm. Oh, terrific.
Yeah, it's in the 70s, I think.
Yeah. 72.
Is it a topic that it's raised at all?
It is.
By people, on, you know, when they came up to you?
Yeah, it is. I was street stalling in Berwick, was it yesterday? And I had two people in the space of an hour and a half coming up to me and say, what's your position on marriage equality? And I was wondering, potentially it could have been a baited question, and said, well, what? Supporters of marriage equality, and they're really, really happy. And I've done door knocking in the area, and there's quite a lot of same-sex families as well.
Martin, so. We know the Sex Party's position and on that, but you are a what's the word? Staunch heterosexual. I don't know whether that's the word I was looking for, but I'm running with it.
Middle-aged straight man.
You're a middle-aged straight man. There you go. What's your opinion on it personally?
I agree with it. I mean, you know, if two people in love, it doesn't. You can't help who you fall in love with. If they fall in love, they should have that right.
How do you sense the feeling out in the seat of La Trobe when you get out and about?
As Michael said, you know, there's a lot more support out there
than what we might think.
Than what you might think in the
ghetto bubble.
The ghetto.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah.
It's like everything. You know, it's a silent minority.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's what you're not hearing. You hear the very vocal minority, but yeah.
But will it change votes? Will Kevin Rudd's support of equal marriage change votes?
Considering he's guaranteed that a bill would be introduced in 100 days of him getting back in, it might change a few people. But it's probably one of those things which will be the last straw, that yes, mm-hmm. everything else, that's what we needed. We'll vote for him, or no, we don't want to get that track.
Yep. On another social issue, And perhaps this is one that, by the sound of it, is more likely to change issues, is the treatment of asylum seekers. Is that something that is discussed more by individuals? I'm just trying to gauge the difference in interest in these issues.
I think on the issue of asylum seekers, that's when it's a bit more divisive in the community.
Yep.
It's a little bit more polarised, I would say.
But I would suggest that out your way, you're less affected by it than, say, if you're out at Jellybrand, like we were talking earlier.
Mm. Well, the interesting thing is, when you get talking to people and you see how they have... you see where they're coming from and why they're for harsher treatment of asylum seekers, when you actually talk through... Well, when I talk through our policy platform, people seem to change their mind. But there's also a portion of the community that come up and say that they will never vote Labor again because how far to the right they've moved on asylum seekers, and they're disgusted.
Yeah.
So, and back to the marriage equality, I mean, that's a social issue that Kevin Rudd has brought up. And it's questionable when he brought it up straight after the asylum seeker issue.
It's a pretty strong, traditionally strong liberal area, and I imagine with growing affluence of that area and property prices increasing out that way, that those households are worth more than ever before.
Yeah.
That being the case, with just a 1.7% margin. Labor could be pretty much see you later, goodbye. But things like Kevin Rudd's harsh line on asylum seeker policy, you know, could balance it out.
Yeah, it could.
Am I on the right track?
Yeah, you are. Yeah. Right. Yes, as Mike was saying, once you talk to people, we don't have a policy on asylum seekers because we don't have access to all the data. But as long as they're treated humanely and... Yeah, they've got to speed up the process. You know, 5 years in detention
that's just criminal.
It's just so wrong. But yeah, you know, people, they say that, Michael's saying, you know, they have their staunch views, and when you talk to them about it, they go, oh, okay. Well, then they soften, then they start looking at from other angles, because some people have their blinkers on and only see it one point.
They read one paper and they...
paper said this, and that's what's happening. Well, there's a little bit more than that, you know.
So, but I suppose what are the main issues that people are talking about on the street at the train station at 6 o'clock in the morning?
Look, to me, the main thing people are talking about is the economy and the cost of living.
Think of the families, Andrew.
Yes,
are the main. They're the main things, and health and education probably come next.
Yep.
But then again, we come from this is a very diverse electorate. We've got the...
I was going to raise that.
Well, we've got the suburban areas around sort of the base of the hill. But as you move up to the hill, the issues are quite different. I mean, people...
they get greener.
It's more environmental.
It is more environmental. Yeah, people will come up and say, what are you doing for the environment? Whereas as you, down in the hill, it seems to be in suburbia, there's a little bit more of a...
Think of the families.
Yeah. I would suggest this. Martin might be one of the most difficult electorates to try and get to know, because you do have that diversity of communities.
Yeah, you do. And as Michael's saying, you know, Narre North and Narre South are suburbia, and Officer now, that's becoming suburbia. Then you come up, you go through Emerald, Gembrook, and that's almost country.
Yeah.
You go up the hill and it sort of changed from economics, and there's still talking economics, and then it's going, oh, the environment. Yeah, you know, not saying that the people in those other areas aren't talking about the environment, but it's not high on their list.
I tell you what, Jason Wood missed out by a bee's proverbial last time round. And it wouldn't take much at all to... for it to fall back into his lap, so to speak.
Yeah.
Being such a swinging seat, the Sex Party must be pretty happy with that.
Yes,
boom,
we
boom.
Were. That's why one of the reasons why I stood in that seat, because last time was, I think, 0.04 or something. I think it was held by a sneeze. If someone sneezed, it changed hands.
1.4. Does that mean that people are knocking on your door, Martin, to get your preferences and things, perhaps more so than they would... we'll get to the Greens' preferences out that way in a minute.
I'm not sure, because that's done by the National Executive. as a candidate, I've actually got no input in where my preferences go. But what I like to say is that with, even though you get a hand of vote card, put in your hand saying this vote this way, if you don't like the way the preferences are written, don't follow them.
Yes.
You know, what I would say is, you know, put number one in my box, Martin Leigh, Australian Sex Party. If the preference is going to one party, you don't like them, say, well, I'd rather go to the other one, change it. People have got to start to realise that they're actually a recommendation. It's not solid law that you must follow. You must follow it.
Yes, but you've got to be prepared to tick the 3.5 metres of paper if you
That's
want
for the
to
Senate.
Tick. Well, that is for the Senate. Mm. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, yes. Standard. Wrong one.
Yeah.
Have you met all your other candidates yet? Because there's just running through who's running. There's effectively three of what we might call rightish parties, smaller parties: the Palmer Party, and the DLP, and the Rise Up.
Andrew is our Anthony Green, just in case you're wondering.
and of course we have the Greens and the Sixth Party, and of course the major two parties: the Labor Party and the Liberal Party.
Do we know if anyone... Do we know nominations closed today?
No, I'm more of your Sonia Kruger. So.
Yeah, they closed it.
The 15th. So today,
yes,
lunchtime. So.
It was today, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't...
Did you get your form in?
Of course.
Yes.
It was in weeks ago.
It took me two attempts to write it. But, yeah.
How... Michael, how are you going to stand out as a young guy, 24, am I right?
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
How are you going to stand out amongst all the noise and all of the carry-on out that way? Because very shortly, they're going to descend upon Latrobe, both of them. Mm. You know who I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be on for young and old. And there'll be cameras, there'll be the whole shebang. Are you going to get out in a chicken suit or something? Or what are you going to do to stand out?
Well, I think I can stand out quite easy over the two major parties because we actually have policy and vision for the future.
Have you received coaching on this?
No.
No, that's a fair response. I'll accept that response.
Bang, yep.
Martin, other than taking your clothes off and running down the main street naked, how are
that
you with the sex party going to stand out?
Just got to be out there, mate, and talk to people on the street. And just be seen and be and talk to people. You know, we're not going to have the mass media following us, and that's fine. But yeah, that's all we can do is talk to them and not talk to them, you know, like they're idiots or that. Yeah.
We are speaking with Michael Schilling. Is that right?
That's right.
All right. He's from the Greens Party out in the seat of Latrobe, and also we are with Martin Leahy from the Australian Sex Party. Andrew the Apprentice and I will be back with them right after this. Smoking on some grass, got me thinking about your ass. Can't believe it didn't last. Right, I guess we crashed. Left me hanging and I'm drinking and I don't drink, but I'm no saint. Broke my heart like I break the bank. Damn, gotta watch my love boat sink. What you think? Your shit don't stink. Fucking with you now, gotta see a shrink. I think about you more than I blink. And we were so right, right like ink. I think you want me like I want you. Overall, like a jumpsuit. You can count on me like 1, 2, but you drop me like a cell. I want your ass back, so want your pants back, and throw that ass back. Damn. And we don't even speak no more, but you had me at hello, 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 hello. You had me. G'day.
You're on Hide and Seek.
This is Dean Beck and Andrew the Apprentice. We are with Martin and Michael, who are silly enough to be running for the seat of Latrobe. All out the east way, up
That's
near
right.
the hills way.
Yeah, out in the hills, but also down in Narrewarren. And, Dean, we have had a message in from Narrewarren on 0427JOY949.
Can you hear us out there?
Yeah, apparently they can, because...
Breaking up.
Dylan from Narrewarren. Actually, no, he's emailed in to onair@joy.org.au. He's emailed in. He's
screaming.
He's a queer tradie from Narrewarren.
Dylan, what's your number?
And he supports equal marriage rights. However... He never seems to meet any other queer tradies.
Isn't that a bit like being a nurse and wanting to meet... No offence to nurses.
Careful.
Okay, being... I don't know.
A chef?
Yes, and...
wanting to...
Meet...
Other chefs.
A waitress. I don't know.
Look. But there are queer tradies out in Narrewarren. There we go. We have proof.
Yes. And
so
ones too.
Michael, what are you going to do for this queer tradie out in Narrewarren when you become
Dylan
a member?
Dylan wants to know what you're going to do for him.
Well, unfortunately, if he lives in Narrewarren, he's not in my electorate. He'll be in Holt. But
he could be in Narrewarren North.
Well, look, if I'm
Let's assume he's the other side of the road.
He's on the wrong side of the road, and he's in your electorate.
Good. He's in Latrobe. Look, I will continue to advocate for marriage equality until it gets done.
Fair enough. Martin?
Yep, same. We'll be at the Equal Love Rally on Saturday.
Right. So no pressure, Michael. Are you going?
Yeah, sure.
Anything you can do.
Do you want a yellow t-shirt to wear?
No, I've got my nice green one under here.
Oh, look, here we go. Mine's bigger than yours. let's talk about education. Now, the Gonski carry-on has been in our conscience for some time. Both parties have pretty much adopted that position financially. But what about content regarding syllabus? There has been a review for physical education and the sexual education of our students in high school. And the draft submission looks like, federally this is, the draft submission does not include things like referencing STIs, specifically HIV, and certainly has no sexual education for GLBTI youth. What are your thoughts, Michael?
Well, I've gone through the report, and I didn't pick that up, but that wasn't there. But now you've mentioned that, it's a shame. It's something that needs to be put into high schools because it's a reality.
Probably, I think I know what your thoughts are on it, Martin. But share it with us.
Put them on the public record.
Put on public record. Actually, we did an education forum this afternoon.
All right.
So we didn't get asked that question, did we?
No, but I brought it in.
No, look, it's not part of the Gonski package, but it is part of a draft review for the syllabus for physical education moving. Yeah. Well,
the sex party does have a sex education policy, which we're very strong on. Well, strongly believe in. We believe that it should run from prep to year 12, which is age appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like sexual orientations on issues such as sexual decision making, emotional aspects of sex, consent, sex and gender diversity, which we talk about there. You know, if you're same sex attracted, you know, homophobia. Yeah, I can remember when I was back in school a few years ago.
Your memory's better than mine. Go on.
Okay, a few more than that, Dean. and someone was a little bit different, and you know, kids can be cruel. But if you can teach kids at a young age that there's nothing wrong, you know, like, look at the room here, you know, we're all different shapes and sizes and hair colours, there's no redheads, that's okay. You know, and you think about what you're like. But if you teach kids, so what if they've got redhead or they're a little bit overweight or underweight? It doesn't make them a bad person. And mm-hmm. that's what we need to teach them.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about lesbians using sperm banks and gay men able to adopt?
Don't have an issue.
I don't have an issue either.
Not a problem.
Okay, just mm-hmm. putting it out there.
Okay.
Just trying to throw a curly left ball.
I actually have some friends, a lesbian couple who are friends, and they got a kid. She's great, you know.
Well, there's no reason why a same-sex family can't raise a child as well as a heterosexual family. Yeah. A child needs two loving parents, and as long as they have that, nothing else matters.
Yeah, that's right.
So, what's the biggest policy difference between you guys?
Well, I'll go on this one.
Okay, go on.
We want to tax. Let me find it. Here it is. Religious businesses, that's religious organisations that don't do charitable work. We're talking about a cereal company, an insurance company, a major...
What about the church itself?
If they're doing charitable work, that's fine. But if they're not doing charitable
work... All churches do charitable work.
Yes, but...
That's part of their pastoral care.
But they actually own businesses. Like I said, there's a cereal company which is owned by a religious organisation. They don't pay tax. A coffee shop franchise.
What about property investments of the church?
They don't pay tax. If they buy and sell, they don't pay tax. There's a rough estimate of there's $20 billion a year that religious organisations that run businesses don't pay in tax, and that's very conservative.
I think I may have found a difference in our policy. Where do you stand on health prevention in terms of things like tobacco laws and alcohol?
Well, tobacco is a legal substance.
Hmm.
Alcohol is a legal substance.
Mm-hmm.
you know, they're just getting taxed and taxed and taxed.
Mm-hmm.
It is a health issue, and obviously that. But as long as the money that they're raising those taxes is going to the health system to help fight it and prevent it.
Michael, we'll do the asking of the questions. What is your position on what is the point of difference that you're suggesting is the case for the Greens?
Look, in terms of what we're just talking about, in terms of illicit substances, we're not standing up for the decriminalisation of drugs which are already illegal, but we are putting an emphasis on still harm minimisation and saying that someone who is a user shouldn't be treated in the criminal system. However, the actual supplier and the dealer should be dealt with criminal penalties.
That's exactly what we're saying. What we're saying is we decriminalise it. So you're taking out of the criminal justice system.
What are you going to do with all of those prison guards that no longer have jobs?
Turn them into parking officers.
Oh, shit. And the other point you raised was taxing on alcohol and cigarettes. Now, it looks like it might be one of Kevin 747's ideas to yet again put the tax up on smokes. As faggers, The Apprentice and I aren't too happy about that, although it might save our lungs. What are your thoughts on it as a Green?
Well, look, I think anything that we can do to try and limit tobacco usage in the community is a good thing.
Stops burning bushfires.
Well, it'll also increase your life expectancy,
which
I think is the main thing that we're looking at.
But
and
here's the thing. The most poor demographics, generally speaking, are those that smoke and drink more. And aren't we just making it harder for them? Aren't we just... isn't it a regressive tax in that sense?
No, well, I think it's important to put money into prevention, into education, into public education campaigns, and make sure those resources are really readily available for these people to access in terms of giving them the right information to give up smoking and making treatments accessible and as easy as possible.
You said that before that... I mean, the three top issues: economy, health, education. We've just covered off a bit of health and a bit of education. Economy. What are the respective parties' positions on economy, and what's the key difference, do you think, on economic grounds between you guys? Martin, you want to go first, or Michael?
Well, all I was going to say is, and I think this is one bit where we probably both fall down. We don't know each other's policies inside out because we spend most of our time, obviously, with our own.
Your own, so
exactly.
Do that.
So we have some idea. Look, the Greens economy, it's all about our economic plan. It's all about sustainable economics. There's no use in having an economy now, such as... our economy at the moment is predominantly focused on the mining boom. Once it ends, if there's no revenue generated from that mining boom to put into...
We stuffed that up, didn't we?
We did. Well, essentially, a mining tax was designed, it generated no revenue.
Brilliant.
Minimal revenue, yeah.
Which doesn't make sense. So
I know, it made a lot of people rich along the way. Martin, how are you going to save the world?
Well, we actually don't have an economic policy because, as I said, we're only 4 years old.
$20 billion out of the churches. That's an economic policy. Thanks very much.
That's a good way. But as far as what Michael's talking, as far as an economic policy, like everybody else, we don't have one. But like I said, with taxing the churches that are promoting businesses, a business promoting
how
religion.
How much money are you going to raise out of taxing marijuana?
I don't know, but it'd be a lot because there's a lot of marijuana smokers out there. I'm sure some of your listeners might be.
Gentlemen, the election is on Saturday, the 7th of September.
That's right.
We wish you both the very best out there in La Trobe.
If you run into Jason and Laura, let them know that we're here.
And
tell them to come in.
Happy swinging out there in the east.
Which Jason?
Jason Wood.
The Woody.
There's two Jasons running.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No. The big two.
The Woody.
Of course, we did, as we said before, we did invite them in tonight, but they were unable to get here.
Laura and the Woody.
And so, yes, if you run into them, let them know.
We'll do.
We've got tradies that will listen.
They're swingers too.
Yes.
You're with Dean Beck and Andrew the Apprentice. This is Hide and Seek on Joy.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.